Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 23 to 30, and then I'll skip a few and do 35 to 42. The context of this is a very familiar story where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman at the well. So he and the disciples were on their way to Judea, or from Judea rather, to Galilee, and Jesus said, "We must go through Samaria." And so he has sent his disciples into the village to go find some food while he sits at the well. And as we know the story, along comes a Samaritan woman in the middle of the day. They have a conversation, and we're jumping into that conversation at about verse 23. "Yet a time is coming," says Jesus, "and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one you are speaking to, I am here," or "I am he." Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." The church that bears witness. Do you know what a witness is? It's someone who has seen something or experienced something and tells about it. To bear witness is simply to share that experience. So if you happen to see a car accident and you tell the police what you saw, you are bearing witness. You happen to have lived through something like maybe a hurricane, and you tell other people about what the experience was like, you are bearing witness. Our role as the church is to tell what we have seen and experienced with Jesus and his kingdom. And when we say it in our words and we live it in our lives, we have authentic testimony. And testimony is just telling our story, a story of transformation. Our hearts have been changed. I bet there isn't a single person here who would say they're the same as they were 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago. That as they've grown, their faith has matured. They've learned to trust more. They don't get maybe as uptight about things that used to stress you out before. God has been changing you, and we call that transformation. You've been transformed into a better version of yourself. See, I know it's true because we can't be in God's presence and not get changed. And so we can look back at the person that we used to be and celebrate the journey that we've come. Now, I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember, but not always a devout follower of Jesus. But God has had opportunity all throughout my life to shape me and to make me become more like Him. I got a long way to go, but I'm more there than I was a week ago. I know that I've been transformed, and I know that I continue to be transformed the more I learn to get myself out of the way and to listen to the Holy Spirit. I wasn't always that good, though. In high school and university, I was a very confident person in my own abilities. I was a student who loved to be a student, who loved learning. And so I was invested and I did well. I didn't mind being the center of attention either. And so maybe some would have said I was a little egocentric. And they were probably right. I had good grades. I was somewhat athletic. I had my head on straight. And I was pretty proud of myself. And maybe that was unbalanced some of the time. And I didn't realize in those days that I had an issue with pride. But God, in His loving way, brought people and teachers into my life that showed me, almost like holding a mirror, where I was a little too obsessed with myself, a little too all about me-ish. And I know most teenagers go through that, but I kind of dragged it into my early 20s too. Now, if you had asked me in those days if I had a strong faith, I would have told you yes. Because I believed it at the time. And of course, we might think it at the time, but when we look back, we say, wow, my faith wasn't really that strong. Because my faith was actually me-centered. Most of my prayers were asking God to make my plans work out. Help me study the right stuff, God, that I don't waste time studying things that aren't going to be on the test. I wasn't surrendered in my prayers. I mean, I did pray for God's will in my life, but it was more like my will was the will. So I was praying God's will, but not really thinking that, you know, I was thinking my will was God's will. I had a lot of learning to do. Transformation of heart had to happen. And when I prayed, I didn't really spend time listening. But I didn't really know to do that. And then eventually God brought a teacher into my world that talked about listening. And I'm like, God speaks to us? And I remember thinking that. I remember being amazed at this idea that God would actually speak to us. And then I started thinking about verses like Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Well, then He must be speaking. And so I began to take on the practice of listening. And my heart began to change. We can't be around Jesus without stuff changing. And through that process, my ego was put into check. I don't think I'm egotistical anymore. I'm very different. I don't really like being in the center of attention, although here I am standing in the center of attention, but that's what God's called me to do. I actually like shining light on other people way more. And my confidence to stand here isn't in my ability to research and study the Word and know things. My ability to be here is entirely in Christ. Because without Him, I actually have nothing worthwhile to tell you. But with Him, He gives me the words of the kingdom to share with you. So my complete and entire confidence is in Christ. My preparation process for this Sunday morning experience is saturated in prayer and listening and following. My sensitivity to the Holy Spirit is so much better now than it was when I was in university, even than it was last year. It just seems to be growing where I hear or understand the prompts of the Holy Spirit. I become so aware of this change in my heart from this me-centered to more of a Christ-centered way of living. And so I bear witness of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. If you knew me in high school, you would be like, yeah, you are kind of different. My witness shares my experience of knowing Christ, and it invites others to then explore Christ for themselves. Because what Christ does for one, Christ does for all of us. Every one of us are invited into a relationship of transformation. And when we share that experience with others, we're being a witness. And when we all do that, the church witnesses to the power of God in our lives. We aren't to go out into the world and be a salesperson trying to pitch Jesus and convince others to grab hold. We're not even supposed to be soul savers running around trying to close the deal with that magical prayer of repentance. Jesus didn't ask us to do that. Jesus asked us to be his witness. Acts 1:8. You will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus spoke this to his disciples, but it wasn't just for them, because they didn't go to the ends of the earth. But we do. This was spoken to all the believers that were coming after the disciples, for us to bear witness to the ends of the earth. Our job is this community, to bear witness to our neighbors and our friends. Our scripture this morning tells the story of the first evangelist, the first one to go and bear witness. This nameless Samaritan woman who encounters Jesus and is forever changed, because you can't encounter Jesus and not be changed. And this woman, following that encounter, she runs back to the town of which she's an outcast in. And she bears witness to them for what she has just experienced at the well. And her witness generates curiosity in the people of the town. And so they come to seek out Jesus and have their own experience. That is all witness is supposed to do. Pique a curiosity that someone would seek out Jesus for themselves. Did you hear what the townspeople said to this woman at the end of this passage? They said, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. But now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." It wasn't her witness that was the end all to their becoming believers. It was the starting point. It was what generated the curiosity that they would go and seek and listen with a curious ear. And then they had their own experience. The goal of our witness, not to persuade and to manipulate, but simply to share what Christ has done for you. And in doing so, inviting them to discover Jesus for themselves. Sometimes there is a cost to living this way, to being a living witness of Christ. The Greek word that means to witness is martys, where we get the word martyr from. And the risk of being a witness here today in Canada isn't death, physical, but it could be death of other sorts. Maybe the death of your reputation among your peers. Maybe you might even lose some friends who are a little uncomfortable being so close to a Jesus person. Maybe because of the moral changes and the ethical changes we experience, it might hinder some career ambitions. There can be some risk. But is it worth the price? The Apostle Paul thought so. He writes in Philippians 3, "If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. And I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and be one with him." Now, Paul's witness led him to being beaten several times and even left for dead. It saw him thrown into prison and shackled many times. And eventually he was martyred. But his witness grew the curiosity. And his witness grew the church exponentially as he brought the story of Christ to the Gentiles and began to start many churches throughout the ancient world that are still there today. Now, our role is a little less daunting than what Paul was called to do. We're called to be the church and to represent Jesus with authentic living that matches our believing. I mean, if we expect others to believe what we believe, we should at least live it. Romans 5 says, "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance." We can live authentically even in troubles. We have Christ. This endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not disappoint, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That alone is a transformation that can't happen without Christ. We could never have our hearts so full of love. We are called into this community to be the church. Do you know what the church is? It's a group of people who can never get over the kind of love that we have found in Jesus Christ. That sacrificial love. That is what brings us together and makes us one. But if we as the church don't bear witness to this love, how will they know? There is no better witness than to be authentic as you love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and as you love others through that love. God is inviting us to be part of his redemption plan in the world. And all we have to do is live what we believe. In spite of these unprecedented times, God is highlighting the church. So let us shine even brighter as a community who are representing him. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." That's the path we're on. So let's be this church that shines and bears witness and testimony to all these people in this community whom you know and love and care about. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.